Thanks for joining us. This is Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. We're going to do things a little bit different for this episode. We're going to be doing both my guest and I working from home. Largely because I'm feeling under the weather right now. Joining us all the way from Tokyo, Japan, is Sean Valencia, the marketing manager at APAC Treasure Data. Sean, we know that 2023, a lot of companies are now aggressively entering back the commercial world. A lot of them are recovering, but many of them are recovering with a new vigor. Digitization of their company is going to be a big deal. Both companies, large and small, is going to be doing it. When we talk about companies embarking on their digitization journey, what would be some of the considerations that is important for business leaders to think about, particularly the kind of lessons that we've learned over the past 2 to 3 years during the pandemic?
Absolutely. I think there's a couple key aspects that we need to consider. One, some of the trends that we've seen coming out of the pandemic is that the different digital interactions that customers are taking with brands has increased significantly. This is both a challenge and opportunity, because one, that means that the journeys that the individual customers are taking have become much more complex. But it is also a great opportunity because it allows us to drive higher engagement with them. Another key challenge that we're starting to see is that a lot of a lot of customers are very mindful of data now, and data is being utilized by brands, and they demand trust with the companies that they work with. And looking to the future, I feel that a lot of competition in business is going to be around earning the trust of the customer. And companies need to be really focused on investing in trust, protecting data, and managing it responsibly, not only because of the regulations that we're seeing all across Asia, but also the expectations of the customers themselves. And there's a with regards to this trust aspect, there's a couple key factors that we need to be focusing on. One, you need the tools to be able to manage data responsibly, taking consent across different communication channels, making sure the right safeguards are in place. This is important because that transparency aspect is really key in this competition for trust. And giving a customer control of their data, tracking consent, these can be quite challenging if data is in different brands or business units. And so when taking the steps to consider forward and the technologies that we're looking to adopt, we need to focus one on that experience aspect and personalization, omnichannel, but at the same time, also investing in the technology to build trust. And that technology aspect is just one factor, but having the right people and processes in place are equally important. So really, people, processes, technology are key to building the trust of customers. That's really going to be increasingly more important to retaining loyalty over the long term and going into the future.
Because of that, loyalty is also very important. There's a lot of factors in terms of how loyalty can be diminished. One of them is, of course, poor data management. Another one is, of course, poor customer relations, and many more, right? Mm-hmm. Do you feel that? And of course, switching providers is ever so easy now more than ever before. Do you feel that companies are placing a lot more importance in terms of establishing trust between the customer and trying to improve their services with their customers to the best of their capabilities because of this, higher risk of customer switching out?
Absolutely. That was an amazing point, because especially what we saw during the pandemic was that a lot of customers did switch brands that they worked with. And also a lot of customers were onboarded to new digital experiences that maybe they didn't have before. Maybe they tried the online groceries for the first time and became accustomed to you know, different kinds of, you know, experiences and sometimes great experiences. And so, you know, really this trust aspect is, you know, one central part to what's going to keep them over the long term with their brand, because it takes a lot of effort to build that trust, a period of time, you know, you're a lot of investments that you're making, but one misstep, you know, can break that. And there's a couple other factors, you know, in addition to that, trust. And, you know, I think when we're looking at, you talked a little bit about loyalty, and we've also been talking about the seamless personalized experiences in today's discussion. And, you know, it's becoming, you know, increasingly more challenging too, because also the, you know, the patience of a lot of customers is you know, less than before. And, you know, really we want to work with services that we can be onboarded quickly, you know, very efficiently, have some of the, you know, agents very ready to serve us and, you know, us ready to get the product. And, you know, having, you know, being able to establish that, you know, it's really, one, data is at the heart to, you know, be able to bring all that together to make sure that, you know, all the systems and teams have, you know, access to what they need to deliver that, whether it's operations, sales, and service, you know, efficiently. And that, you know, being able to deliver that, you know, high level of service in this age is, you know, also, you know, going to be a key differentiator as well.
Some of the global trends are important to be discussed. One of them is, of course, rising inflation across markets, rising interest rates, lower demand, higher oil prices. Things don't look good for trying to get the economy to bounce back. And this is consistent across all major markets, as well as some interesting markets to think about, like, for instance, Indonesia and Vietnam. How do you think companies need to manage their own progress in terms of trying to, you know, establish better technology within themselves while at the same time operating in a very volatile global economy right now, at least for this year?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point, especially coming out of 2022 and continuing into 2023 now. You know, really, there's two perspectives, you know, one from the customer and one from the company itself. What we're seeing from the customer is that, you know, this economic situation is also shifting the buying power to the customer, because they are more going to be more, you know, careful with the brands that they work with, and you know, they want to work with those brands that are really, really focused on understanding them, delivering exactly what they need, and you know, from the company side, what this brings about is that, you know, we have to focus very much so on efficiency. And, you know, now there's a lot of more scrutiny on things like marketing spend or conversion, cost effectiveness. And what we're seeing is that brands that are investing in the right tools and, you know, working with data a lot more can begin to focus on some of these efficiencies. A couple examples could be for the marketing. You know, many times in marketing, we might be targeting a wide variety of contacts that we're looking to reach, when in reality, there's a much smaller portion who are the key customers very interested in the product. And how do we identify, you know, reaching the right individuals with the right message at the right time? And especially with some of the CPG brands, we're seeing a lot of them hone in on those kind of goals, you know, right now, and seeing a large amount of cost savings. Also, cost savings can be in the operational side as well. Perhaps maybe for something like a call center, being able to, one, link some of the, you know, other sources of data, that's maybe that's marketing, sales, or service, to, you know, be ready to have the agents ready to serve the customer when they call in. Or increasingly, we're starting to see cases of machine learning with using insights to give the agents recommendations to serve customers faster. And decreasing those call center times allows them to, you know, boost their efficiency as well. So all these various use cases are involving data that's from a variety of different systems being brought together, but then using it to hone in on cost effectiveness and efficiency. And those are some key trends that, you know, we are seeing, you know, this year among brands, as, you know, all of us are, you know, having to, you know, ride these economic waves and really focus on efficiency and justify ROI, et cetera.
All right, Sean, we'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more with Sean Valencia of Treasure Data. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me on the line, dialing in from Tokyo, Japan, is Sean Valencia, the marketing manager of Asia Pacific at Treasure Data. Sean, let's go deep dive into CDP, your customer data platform. We've seen how CDP can actually provide some form of efficiency, both in terms of reducing costs and trying to get higher yield of sales or translated sales from marketing efforts. Maybe you can walk through with us in terms of what would be some of the normal, I guess, most effective way of utilizing CDP through marketing for businesses to think about if they do choose CDP on marketing, say, for instance, using your platform.
Great. Yeah. So I think it's going to vary depending on the business or the industry. And really, it starts with asking the question, okay, what are some of the biggest pain points that we have right now? Is it that, one, we need more customers, we need to reach customers? Is it that we have to grow our loyalty? You know, do we see some of our loyal customers trailing off, or do we want to engage them better? Or, you know, do we run a service and we want to focus on the retention side? And then taking a look at the goals, there's going to be lots of use cases across the entire customer journey to look at. For that more top of the funnel, if we want to look, you know, really hone in on that awareness side, you know, maybe this can be accomplished by better personalization. So perhaps we can merge data from CRMs, third-party data, other kinds of data within our organization to better understand the customer, and then try to, you know, reach a smaller amount with the right message to try and, you know, get that first engagement. For growing and winning the customer loyalty, we also see a lot of brands investing in the loyalty program. Maybe in the past they had one loyalty program with one track, but maybe with better engagement, they're starting to orchestrate more of an omni-channel loyalty program experience for various different kinds of personas in their loyalty program. And the other example I gave was the retention side. This we're seeing a lot of action in the machine learning side of things. So perhaps machine learning can help identify customers who, you know, are at risk for churn or might be trailing off. And then we can give their, you know, agent a notification, okay, we need to check in on with them, or perhaps we want to, you know, create a customized offer just to send to those individuals who might be at risk for churn. So really there's, you know, a lot of variety of different use cases that are, you know, being made possible by taking data that might have been locked in CRM, customer service department, offline, online data, behavioral data, trying to bring it all together that was previously in different systems, teams, and platforms into one platform that's accessible by various stakeholders to use.
Let's go sector by sector, because you mentioned that different sectors require different items. Perhaps you can think about FMCG or consumer businesses. That would be some of the ideas that I have in mind. How would this companies in this sector utilize or maximize the capabilities of CDP for marketing?
Absolutely. So for the FMCG sector, one of the biggest use cases that we do see with them is the focus on cost effectiveness in marketing. So we do work with a number of large CPG and FMCG companies. Some of the key focuses and wins that we've seen in that sector was many times they might be managing many different brands or product lines, and identifying the right individuals in their, whether it be in their marketing database or other kinds of engagements that they're doing to contact and engage in what we sometimes call marketing suppression, to just focus on the right individuals for the right individual brands or product lines. Also, what we are seeing more is personalization in the websites themselves with engaging in live personalization in that front. We are seeing a lot of FMCG brands that are, finding more ways for direct to consumer engagements. That might not always be the direct sales, but maybe there's a new kind of service or loyalty program, one way to try and start reaching and having that more one-to-one personal engagement with the customer. And then, through that, trying to find, ways to establish a more personal relationship. And so there's a number of different tactics that we're seeing. Probably one of the, the first and foremost is that, cost effectiveness, but then, finding new ways to engage the customers, which we saw a lot of investment in during the, especially during the pandemic. And finding ways to establish that personal relationship, whether it be through a loyalty program or some kind of service that they can reach or get the customer to sign up for, is another trend that we're seeing in the FMCG space.
Now, on top of this, I would like to see how companies in the healthcare sector or the pharma sector could be reached out, largely because the spirit of my question is more on handling sensitive customer data rather than anything. How do you think this can be done, considering that data breaches is happening left, right, and center, and it's a question of when, not if? Maybe you can share with us how sectors in sensitive industries like the healthcare sector can actually leverage on CDP.
Yes, absolutely. So for working in sectors such as healthcare, banking, very, very sensitive sectors, having the right security and safeguards of the data is extremely, extremely important. So definitely in these sectors, when looking at the the technologies to invest in, it's very, very important to look at one, the security certifications. Two, sometimes there's very vertical specific certifications for healthcare specifically. And then also making sure that I mentioned at the top, the people and processes is also very important. When we talk about data platforms and CDP and in empowering teams with that data, that doesn't mean that everyone within the organization has access to data, right? To all the data, just having the right individuals access to the data that they need. So, also investing in the, the IT management teams and the data controllers that are also working within a platform. It could be CDP, it could be, something built internally, but it's also extremely important to have the processes in place of, okay, we've got all the data together in this system. It's all been centralized, but what are the essential insights and essential data that each of the stakeholders are going to get to be able to act on? And, having this in place is extremely important to, as you mentioned, it's not a matter of If it's a matter of when, but having investment in one, the technology that has the right security security needs, but then the people and processes that are going to help set as many safeguards as you can assist with minimizing that risk. A little bit about the history of the company and what we're providing today. We were founded in 2011 in Mountain View, California. Not too long after that, we opened our first office in Tokyo, Japan. We have an office in Korea. We also have some of our team members based in Malaysia now as well. And right now we've been really growing and focusing on winning a lot of different helping develop great customer experiences for brands in many different industry verticals. We have around 400 different customers worldwide now, including helping brands in both CPG, retail, finance, also pharma as well. And with the kind of services that we provide, one, we are a completely focused on the technology of CDP, customer data platform. When the company was founded, we have always been in the space of data infrastructure. So that has been key to our DNA and evolving the product to really be the best fit for solving the customer data needs of the global enterprise. So the product itself of CDP, it's very focused on bringing all the data within the organization together, providing a actionable platform for teams. But we can leverage a lot of the insights from the experience our team has gained from serving customers in various industry verticals all over the world. So we also work with our customers to identify, okay, what are the different use cases with data that we want to focus on? That's going to, generate the right ROI for their business. Because of course, having that piece of technology is the first step, but then, the next step is going to be, okay, how, the strategy aspect of it. Looking at that strategy, it really is a journey. It's not something, digital transformation is not something that happens overnight. The most successful cases that we see are with companies that start small with identifying that first maybe use case to get a quick win. Maybe they take a couple different sources of data, bring it together, engage in some personalization to raise one of their KPIs up. Then that brand ambassador can evangelize the use case to other business units within the organization, get others involved in data strategy as well, and then create a bit of a snowball effect to where the use cases expand, the teams that are using data expand, and the amount of revenue, cost savings, etc., continues to improve. Those are the different things that we're, exploring with our customers right now. But really, the first step is bringing data together that was siloed in many different places.
Final idea that I want to explore with you is on moving towards a zero-party data where consumers actually willingly provide data to exchange for a more personalized opinion. And the reason why I want to ask this is because I myself have continuously and consistently opted out of any personalized experience, not because I don't want experiences to be personalized to my favor, but generally speaking, I don't want companies to know more about what I give them, more than necessary, I suppose. So how do we balance that whole zero-party data between customer disclosure to the company versus the company trying to provide the best personalized experience with the littlest amount of data that is to be extracted from their consumers?
That's a great question. Zero-party data we're seeing is an increasing focus of brands, and zero-party data was coined by Forrester Research as data that the customer wants to give a company. So this is different than first party data is data that's essential for serving a, you know, providing your business or service to them. And really what we're seeing the success in this is, okay, how do we tie that data really to value? So there has to be a clear expectation of value from the customer side to, give up some of that data. Because as you mentioned, Ibrahim, we don't want to just give up all our data. It's very important to us. It has to be data. If I'm going to give up, my data as well, it has to be something that I know is going to translate directly into a better experience for me. And some examples that we see of this could be, say, like music streaming services. I'm signing up for a music streaming service. It might ask me for my favorite genres, and maybe I click a couple. That is a form of zero-party data, because I know that, next the playlists or the content that's going to be served to me are going to be, based on some of my preferences, and there's that clear translation of value. When looking and creating the strategies of, okay, how can we really bulk up on our zero party data? It has to be that clear translation of value has to be there at the forefront. And, as we look to the future and, third-party cookies might be going away. I know Google keeps, bringing the goalpost further and further out, but it seems that that's going to be the trend. One anticipation that we have is that a lot of competition on the experience side is going to be around the amount of zero-party data that companies can have to hone in and focus on that great customer experience. That value has to be at the forefront of our considerations.
Thank you very much, Sean. That was Sean Valencia, the marketing manager of Asia Pacific at Treasure Data, joining us from Tokyo, Japan. Do stay on with us. Of course, you can actually access all our resources on astrowin.com as well. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Catch you in the next one.